You're listening to The Kyler Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. If you have kids, do they ever act disrespectfully? If so, you may be wondering where that behavior comes from. Well, Danny and Brittany have the answer to that question, and you might be surprised on what it is. We also are going to be talking about helpful communication techniques and how to increase the levels of respect and responsibility in your home. You are going to love this episode, so get ready because it starts right now.
Well, welcome to the Kyler Show.
Hi, everybody.
We are back at it, talking about communication today. With parenting.
With the chillins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Chilling with the chillins.
Chilling with the chillins.
That's what we're doing.
Finding ways to reduce anxiety mm-hmm. while we have, keep the communication respectful.
Yes. And like always, you know, the parenting segment that we've been doing, we're always covering the five principles.
Yeah.
Which are being powerful.
Gotta be powerful.
Choosing love over fear.
Chase that stuff away.
Pursue the goal of connection.
I feel like a backup singer.
You are a little bit practicing respectful communication and honoring healthy boundaries.
So good.
So we are pulling out the communication piece in this one today, which is great because I think this is probably a tool that not only children need to have developed within them, but parents.
Who are the teachers?
Uh-huh.
You know, the parents
hopefully
are the
you're
ones
leading in it.
Trying to figure out what am I going to do with me when mm-hmm. classically disrespect shows up.
There's a lot of disrespect in kids. They are.
They are a little willful
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I do say, though, that Delaney did not learn how to roll her eyes by herself.
Mm.
I know exactly who taught her.
Did Ben point that out?
No. I humbly accepted that it was my fault.
Good.
But yes, I think the illusion that our children just pick up disrespect or they learn it from school or wherever their environment is sweet that you think that.
Yeah. They learn it way before school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They learn all these things from you, which is why we want to make sure you're changing the way you're communicating with your kids and just bringing some powerful conversations, some good questions, all the things that come with good, respectful communication.
And so there's a continuum of, you know, how your child shows up, and mm-hmm. some of them are pretty intense, and some of them are pretty chill.
Yeah.
So just the experience of disrespect with your child is kind of on that same continuum mm-hmm. where this kid says, I got a problem with you
yeah.
right now. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And the other one just kind of has a slow burn. Like, that child was so compliant mm-hmm. until they came off the rails all in one day. Like, yeah it was a buildup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, the exchange of, I mean, parents are different dynamics, mm-hmm. you know. Obviously, I'm a bit more of that, we're having a problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's probably a bit of more slow burn, you know, but disrespectful things happen. Like, just the other day, I think you were home and Ben was camping with Lincoln, and I discovered that the knife... Lincoln's in charge of emptying the dishwasher, but he was angry at me and decided to take a chunk out of the cupboard with a knife that he was supposed to be putting away.
Mm.
So that required some good communication there.
Mm.
And because there was lots of disrespect in that moment. And
big red button.
Oh, exactly.
Yep.
Which him pushing the big red button was not as aggressive and right in my face like Delaney may have done it.
Yeah.
His was very, I mean, I had no idea until I was like.
Passive aggressive.
Very passive aggressive.
Yes.
But that's where that disrespect showed up. And we have a great opportunity, which I think just that big red button, parents seem to forget that they have that.
Yeah. Or unaware.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it is this thing that our children, I feel like, go on a hunt for.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really good explorers. They almost always find it.
It's important to remember that we train people how to treat us,
mm-hmm.
you know, so this kind of goes back to that continuum and, you know, very, very sweet, gentle parents give birth to a T-Rex.
Yeah.
And the T-Rex finds out right away, hey, these people are kind of scared of me.
They're terrified.
I kind of like this. I feel so powerful. Oh, my gosh.
They're hiding in their caves.
Yes, look at them tremble when I start to be demanding. Mm-hmm. And likewise, you know, there's people that are comfortable being demanding. Mm. And these children just look like they're getting run over all day long. So these children are paying attention to what does it take to be powerful here? And one gets it with tears and one gets it with angry.
Yep. It's so true. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in the heat of the moment, knowing your big red button, knowing that you have one, what are you going to do when it's pushed? Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes us powerful parents, mm-hmm. is that I don't give permission to react to your disrespect, mm-hmm. which is not always the case. Often we just react to the behavior, and then we get caught up in this loop where we start being disrespectful, and then it validates the disrespect.
And we have a disrespectful agreement or culture, mm-hmm. in our tough times.
Yeah.
So when things get, you know, and that line shows, the button gets pushed right to here, yeah. and now everything above this can be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Every single family member says, okay, there's a line, and we get to be disrespectful when we get to that line. Previous to that is breaking the rules, but once you go over it, all bets are off.
Yep.
You do what you want to do, and that line gets lower and lower and lower as our family continues.
Mm-hmm. I know that when Ben and I work with people and marriages, he often asks the question, how much disrespect do you want in your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone looks at him kind of like,
like a percentage?
Yeah, like that's a ridiculous question. Like, why? But as we unpacked it, it's amazing how quickly they discover there's a lot of disrespect that they give permission to. But the truth is they don't want any of it.
Yeah.
But they've created these cycles and really a culture that encourages it and makes room for it.
Mm-hmm. And whether we care to admit it or confess, we learn this.
Mm-hmm.
We learned this. You know, I had a childhood. You had a childhood. We bring it together. We shake real hard. We call it a marriage and a family. Mm-hmm. And we create our new normal, create our new culture. If I don't take responsibility for where that line is in my family culture and you do the same, then we won't pay attention to how we're triggering each other's anxiety when somebody drops a bomb. And then the kids are watching it. They're just taking notes. They're just over taking notes.
Totally.
Like, oh my gosh, okay, where's
this
that?
This is what we do.
Okay, dad's line's, dad's uh-huh. line's way down here. Mom's line, mom's a little less demanding, and we can push her quite a ways before she comes undone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, mom, whoever has the highest line will say, why do you let these children disrespect me like that?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one says, well, I do something about it way before you do. I come uncorked way before you do. I get disrespectful right away. So the children have learned they can get disrespectful way down here.
Mm-hmm.
And so raising that line up, getting rid of that red button, disconnecting that thing, those kids come up and hit that button, and what are you going to do besides go off the rails?
Right. Well, do you think that, before we jump into that, do you think that sometimes the disrespect, you know, I assert myself, can be, some people believe it's a boundary, that they're setting a boundary?
Yeah, well, they're teaching their kids a lesson.
Right.
They just don't know what lesson it is.
Yeah. So I think just being aware of, like, the tool set that you had and what you were given, if it's not actually something that's producing connection at the end of this, it's not really a boundary as much as it's just disrespectful punishment.
Totally.
So, I mean, yeah, that was just
it's yellow
thought.
Truck.
It is very much yellow truck.
The yellow truck. It's a big, big giant, I'm bigger, stronger, more powerful than you. Don't you ever forget it.
Mm-hmm. So on the other side of, what do you do when your big red button doesn't have power?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, first thing there is believing that you're a powerful person and you're not afraid of your children. I think there's a lot of scared parents, which is why we go into this react mode.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that comes to mind is really following through with consequences to behavior and action of and protecting your culture. Mm-hmm. So if I don't have consequences to when you hit your sister, you're just going to assume that this behavior is permitted mm-hmm. and that you just keep hitting your sister. Well, then if she's younger, she's going to learn, well, then I hit you. And this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We just have this physical, painful relationship that we break down because no one has said otherwise.
Or verbal.
Right.
Yeah, just unleash the dragon. Mm-hmm. I think that the one-liners mm-hmm. are probably a parent's go-to when they get hit with a, that sucks. Mm-hmm. This is stupid.
Yes.
Why? You know, you've got to be able to have some place to stand besides in the line of fire. Mm-hmm. Because you can only handle so much disrespect before that button starts to vibrate and you go,
yes,
here you go. You're coming over the top. So you got to have a plan before you get there. I learned this from the Love and Logic days. Mm-hmm. And the I know, probably so, that could be, I don't know, nice try. You just kind of set it up in your mind. And no matter what they say, you go, I know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bob, probably so. And you're trying to stay empathetic. You're trying to, like, you're really upset. I see that. I'm not mocking you or being antagonizing. I'm just managing me.
Right. While you that do is that. The secret.
While yeah. you do that, I'm just going to manage me, mm-hmm. which is I'm not going to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, I used to call it, become the cloud. You can't power struggle with a cloud because you can't grab it because I'm just drifting around.
Yeah.
I know, I don't know. You don't love me. Nice try.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I think parents in that, when they use those tools, they start to think that they have to address the behavior. And I always tell parents, don't chase after the behavior right now mm-hmm. because you're not talking with a rational human.
No.
You are talking with this out of control, very emotional person. So there's no way that you're going to have a heartfelt conversation that leads you to what you're doing, protecting a culture. You're just trying to negotiate with someone that is out of control.
They have one goal.
Yes.
Control.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So not getting so focused on the behavior is probably a huge tip to be remembering. And then applying these one-liners, because if you get stuck on that, I got to address the behavior right now, the disrespect, which is the, you know, you're so stupid.
Yeah.
I know.
This family's terrible. You're terrible.
Right.
You're just like, wow, these are so hurtful. Mm-hmm. If you jump in that
right.
pit.
If you do.
You're going to get hurt and or you're going to hurt somebody because that's what you do in the pit.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also really important for parents to be mindful of what powerful language and powerless language looks like. Mm. You know, you're making me so mad right now. Mm. You know, I don't know how many times when I'm role-playing with parents that comes out. I'm like, okay, so let's talk about that real fast. Because, you know, you are just communicating that you're a powerless person, and then it's reinforced in your children because mm-hmm. they do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So really being mindful of owning your stuff. And, you know, sure, I'm getting angry by something that's happening with whatever my child's doing. So like the cupboard, that didn't make me happy.
No.
That wasn't a happy exchange.
There'll be a reminder every time you open that drawer moving forward. You're like,
oh,
boom.
But, you know, to say, hey, I'm not sure what happened, but that didn't feel good, you know, and that's the language I'm using with him is it's scary to me that you could get angry and that you want to hurt something or break something that's mine. Mm-hmm. That feels yucky. Mm-hmm. So that's the language I'm using with him in that exchange versus I can't believe you did that. You made me so angry. This is ruin. Look what you did. I mean, I just start projecting all this stuff instead of kind of really displaying my heart. And again, I didn't talk to him in the moment. It was a little while later because that's a very different person.
Yeah.
Then.
And this is, you know, this is in the Keep Your Love On book, mm-hmm. The Unpunishable book. These are things that, and the Loving Your Kids on Purpose, these communication skills are setting in there so that you can refer to them, keep going over them. They're in the parenting 101 that mm-hmm. it's, I'm going to tell you about me.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell you about you. I'm not going to judge you, condemn you, convince you. I'm going to show you me. Mm-hmm. And that is really what leads to connection.
Right. Which, again, we didn't mention it last episode, but Coffee, Kids, and Crazy is the podcast that Seth and I do.
Gotta listen.
And we're talking about all this stuff in there as well, but given different examples, more pinpointed, his kids, my kids, yep. questions we're taking. So if you want to dive into all of that, we've got that at Coffee, Kids, and Crazy. But now we're actually going to go into our question segment.
Oh, good.
So we're going to take your questions and have some fun around the topic of communication.
If you haven't read the books or taken the courses that Danny just mentioned, we can help you out. You can go to lovingonpurpose.com and click store to see all of our courses, all of our books, and every single one of our teaching and resources to help you create thriving relationships in every area of your life. It's the fastest way we know how to fix broken relationships and how to make strong relationships even stronger. So visit lovingonpurpose.com right now and click store.
All right, so we're off to our question segment.
Love it.
And first up is Lisa.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Lisa Campbell. A little bit of background. My husband and I, blended family. We've been married for 6 years. We have a pretty extensive knowledge with Kylo, Unpunishable, and that kind of stuff. Some of our children do not. And one of them is our son, his biological son. Him and his wife, young, early 20s, have a 2-year-old son, have been married for 6 years, decided to get a divorce. COVID was very hard on them. There's a lot of fear. One of them is kind of turning towards spiritualism. The other is kind of going to his roots in Christianity, but both have just said they're kind of going separate ways. Yet they have chosen to live together and act as a family, without being married. They'll even when they date other people, they'll be protective and of the other, the former spouse. And they're kind of doing that. They're living in the same house. They are going on dates together, kind of, sort of doing everything just like they are married. So my question is, as parents who want to love and have boundaries, how do we do that well and represent God well in this situation? Because we want to communicate that, you know, this is not the most healthy thing, and yet we want to try to love them. And we're not sure how to feel about, let's say, girlfriends or boyfriends coming in, family vacations, family events, etc. So could you please help us with some insight?
That's going to be common for a while.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
so.
I think as the family breaks down and we have all this chaos and people are trying to figure out really who are we as a family, that wholeness is that, you know, the integration comes back to families. It's like dropping a mirror, you know, out a 2-story window. It's just pieces are going to be everywhere. So if we're going to contribute to wholeness, then we have to keep that in our heart, keep that in our mind. I don't know how many parents during conferences have asked the question, my son or daughter came out as gay. Mm-hmm. They are going to get married. They've invited me to the wedding. Should I go?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm like, oi, 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 oi. Does your son or daughter have any questions at all about your paradigm and what's important to you and what you think about anything? And they say, no, we made it perfectly clear. Mm-hmm. We still do. We're destroying our connection over it. I'm like, yeah, you are. Yeah, I would be on the front row crying tears of joy that you love your son so much and that he was aware enough to invite you to his wedding and not bitter mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
And because I'll say it again, nobody is going to go to their grave sorry that they kept their love on.
Right.
Nobody.
I think that's the biggest thing I kept thinking of was keep your love on. You know, that's how you display the Father's heart, is that you love well. And, you know, if there's boundaries that need to be put into play, for safety or peace, mind you, then sure. But I think just continuing to love well would be the best thing that you can do.
And it's not a mystery to son or daughter that you don't like the idea that I'm living with my girlfriend. It's, you know, who knows what's going to happen to this girlfriend? She may disappear next week. They may end up getting married, whatever. But that son of yours is going to be in your life for the rest of your life, you hope, right?
So, and the child that they've had.
Yeah. And they have, so, you know, this is a commitment that you make, like, into eternity. I'm taking this to the eternity. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't define my quality of love towards you. So I don't know what what's going to happen over here. Hey, and it, you know, we're talking about somebody living together, but this could be my son's in prison. You know, should I visit him? Oh, I guess the Bible says to visit him. Okay, so I guess I should do that. But you know, I'm go love your son.
Yeah,
go. Remind him who he is. Go give him hope. Show him the Father. I mean, these are your assignments. And you're like, I keep forgetting that when I get so hurt that my child has chosen a different path. And you're like, wow, I understand, but keep your love on.
Yep, that's it. So good. Well, thanks for that question, Lisa. And the next question we have is from David.
Hey, Danny and Brittany, this is David. So as a parent of a 6 and an 8-year-old, we have been implementing the keep your love on style of parenting. We just really fell in love with the expression of God's heart over our kids. And growing up, we were under a different style of parenting. When me and my wife were growing up, it was more popular in the 80s and 90s for Christians. And there seemed to be quite a few, let's just say, surprises that parents would encounter in not seeing results in their kids. And I think with every style of teaching, there are the things that we are trying to see results in, and obviously in this case, it's the Father heart of God. But there are also surprises. So my question is, what are some surprises that you guys have experienced with developing this culture of keep your love on?
Well, we could answer that in several different perspectives. I mean, the knife in the drawer, that was a surprise.
Yes.
I think, you know, and the, I also think the surprise of how much the children embrace it and value it and practice it. And I mean, I mean, I watch Lainey. She's kind of, she's not a mom, but she's a mom already. You know, she's a mom of the siblings. She's a mom of the herd outside. You know, she's just kind of carrying this mama heart as a result of being in this culture. So I'm not exactly sure how to answer that question. Like, surprises, like, didn't see that coming, big child, or surprises in a positive way that are, yay.
Yeah. I don't know either as far as the surprises of mistakes they make. I think that everything that my child does somewhat feels like the knife thing. Oh, that was a surprise. Or even Addie's, you know, trying to be cool and getting mad at everyone for her process of it, you know, okay, that's a bit of a surprise. I mean, to some degree, I expect surprises because it's, I can't control these humans, so I don't know what's going on inside of them. But I think I don't know that I'm surprised as much as I feel honored on the other end of that, all the intentional work that Ben and I are doing is showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I'm surprised is the right word for me, but I guess you could say surprised. But I think, you know, I've been working this land,
mm-hmm.
and I've been tilling the soil, and I've been putting things in it. So, you know, what I know God says will be produced from it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the surprises are forever going to come because they're humans that I can't control. But I think that maybe that my biggest surprise is usually the Holy Spirit in how well he'll help when I make room for him.
Mm.
That's probably the biggest surprise, I would say, in the different seasons we've been in is I just didn't think that you could manifest that way, and you did.
Mm.
So that's probably one that I could think of. That's unique.
Yeah, and the surprise of the partnership
mm-hmm.
of God in your child's life, like how he continues to pursue them, continues to wait for them to get there, whispers to them. They seem so much more wise than their age would communicate. Like, wow.
We had a funny situation. We were somewhere and there's a bunch of kids running around, and one of them that was close to Lincoln's age said the F word. Mm. And it wasn't fiddlesticks, as his sister jokingly said. And he told us later, and I said, oh, how did that feel? He goes, oh, it doesn't feel good. He goes, I just walked away because I don't have time for that. And we were laughing, like, okay. But I love that, you know, what he's going to protect is just even what he's going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 9.
Mm.
So there's a surprise for you.
Surprise.
Hey, didn't see that coming. Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks, David. That was fun. All right. Next question comes from Becky.
What are some of the best tips that you have on weeding out comparison and depositing confidence and identity?
That kind of goes back to the Addie story.
Yeah, a little bit. I think I love Meg Meeker's books, Strong Mother, Strong Sons, Strong Father, Strong Daughters. I think, you know, there is a unique relationship, and then it switches. You know, it's this funny thing, like, I know the impact that Ben has on our girls speaking to them as being beautiful and valuable and desirable and just this princess. But then they turn and look to me like, how do I be a woman now, Mom? You know, and he can't do that. He can't, but he's been helping them before we get to that part.
That's kind of a funny picture, actually, Ben trying to teach me that.
Yes, that would be entertaining for us all. And I know that for Lincoln, I have a role to play of, you know, teaching him how valuable he is, mm-hmm. how his voice matters, and encouraging him and showing him what this loving relationship looks like. And then Ben teaching him how to be a young man, how to be courageous, how to fight the internal battle in his head and his heart that I don't exactly have access to.
Find courage.
And all of that. But then at the same time, Lincoln's going to probably lean more on Ben's relationship as a man than he ever will with me, you know, because sons grow and they marry and they leave and they go to their wives and their families.
They replace you.
Yes.
That's what happens.
You know, mm-hmm. and the same thing's going to happen with Ben. I'm glad it's fair, you know, that he's going to experience that too. It's not just me.
It's 2-1, actually.
Yeah, I know. He does have the harder hit on that one. But, you know, we both have to know our role. And I think so much of how you develop this in a child is knowing your role and what you're supposed to speak into. And then I think the other part is really leading them to having a relationship with the Father rather than just expecting them to have one mm-hmm. because they're in church
mm-hmm.
Or that youth group's going to do it or that kids' church is going to do it. It's not going to do it. You have to, just like we have to teach them how to walk, how to talk, we have to teach them to have a relationship with the Father. Because it's not just something that they get. And it's not just how to pray. It's how to find God when I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
How to find God when I'm angry at someone or hurting with someone. You know, there's so much that we have to teach them how to find the Father in those moments that help develop confidence and courage in who they are.
Yeah, super good. I think a lot of it is whole healthy families. You know, yeah. Whole healthy families are going to give your child the identity that they hold on to, that they behave, that they remember, that they go replicate. So it has a lot to do with your family culture. I think the Parenting 101 has a lot of skills and tools in it. Did you guys go into the culture piece on the...
We touched about it just a little bit.
Yeah, so Coffee Kids and Crazy Podcast is another place where you're going to hear some real impartation to being a whole healthy family that is giving your kids something else to consider besides the message of the world.
Yeah, which is very loud. So
screaming.
That's why it's crucial to be doing it on purpose in your home.
Yeah.
But all right, we're going to move on into testimonies.
Oh, good.
We believe that whole healthy families are going to save the world. If you believe that too, help us by sharing the Kylo Show with others. When you share the show, it invites the people around you to join us on our mission of reconciling families to the Father and to each other. Thanks for joining us. Together, we can make a more hopeful tomorrow.
All right. So our first testimony, or actually our only testimony, we usually talk about it. I was getting excited. We have so many. We're just doing one, guys.
One at a time.
Yeah. But this one comes from Wendy.
So I don't think it would be an exaggeration at all for me to say that Kylo has changed my life. I've been a Christian most of my life, grew up in a Christian family, but so much of what I learned in Kylo was very foreign information. Even though I came from a loving home, you know, it's really easy to recognize this paradigm of fear and punishment. And it was so interesting because probably 5 or so years ago, the Lord was just speaking to me about love and fear and how they're polar opposites, and just beginning to recognize in my own life how fear was operating in ways that I wasn't even aware. I didn't consider myself a fearful person. I didn't, you know, think of myself that way. But the Holy Spirit was beginning to point that out to me. And when Kylo came along, it really just gave me language, for one thing, to explain and help me understand what I was going through and how to even express it to other people. And it gave me some perspective on love and honor, self-control, taking responsibility for myself, initiating and maintaining connection. I think it's so crucial for us as believers that say that we know that we should be demonstrating the love of Jesus, but I just don't think we always have the tools to do that. And I think Kylo is a wonderful resource for that. I have definitely have more peace in my life, in my home, in my relationships, greater connection with those around me, more value for people in my life, relationships in my life, and making that the priority over things and having things done a certain way. It has benefited my marriage, my parenting, my friendships, leadership roles that I have in ministry or in the community. It's been so valuable, and I am truly grateful, and just continue to learn and pursue Kylo and loving people where they are, loving and valuing myself in the process, and continuing to ask myself, where is there still fear in my life and questioning even my own motives. Am I doing this out of love or am I doing this out of fear? And it's just always such a great question that helps to guide me in making decisions, to making those adjustments for just my own internal process. So thank you so much to Danny Silk and company for all that you guys are doing to create and equip whole, healthy families who are going to save the world. God bless you all.
It's catching on.
She's dropping the tagline.
It's catching on.
That's very cool.
Well, it's fun Wendy? To hear. Wendy.
Wendy. Yeah. Wendy sounds like a pillar in her society, you know, her groups. She sounds like she's, and yet she didn't realize so much of her life, behavior, decisions were fear-based.
Well, and I think just to, you know, it saved my life, you know, and the peace that she found and the, you know, really it sounds like a language that gave her empowerment.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and there towards the end, she said, I'm asking myself, am I motivated or moved by fear right now mm-hmm. or by love? And like, okay, that is the gift of discernment. Mm-hmm. We typically think that discernment is my ability to figure out what spirit's driving you. Mm. You're like, is that a Jezebel spirit? Is that a, you know, the lust spirit? What is the spirit? Did you feel that spirit on that guy? That was so creepy. And all it does is it scares you to create distance from whoever you've judged. Mm. But we call that discernment, much like we used to call a gift of prophecy was me calling out your sin. Mm. Like, oh, right. What a gift. Yeah.
Not a gift.
It's not awesome.
Don't be confused.
Well, I'm not sure it's a gift. Ooh.
Yeah.
But the gift of discernment is really, it starts right here. It mm-hmm. starts with, what is the spirit that I am of? Like when Jesus says to his disciples, like, you don't know the spirit you are of if you think punishing a city for being disrespectful is the way to use your power. Mm-hmm. Back away from the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, what moves me? Does it move me to connection or does it move me to self-preservation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all the unpunishable stuff is really, am I moved to save my own life? Or am I moved to figure out, A, how do I stay connected to the Lord in this situation? And then what is my level of connection with you? Like, mm-hmm. is it changing right now? Is there a boundary that's coming? Or am I healing something that we need to pay attention to?
Yeah. I think, again, it was just so, so great to hear that she's taking a moment to actually reflect on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's another big place of growth is to hear that you're actually exploring mm-hmm. that, you know, asking that question, because I don't feel like everyone's doing that all the time. And that is making a big difference as far as how she's leading in this as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. you know, and her ability to press in and give room and space for just taking good care of herself, which I think people think taking good care of yourself is just a spa day. Sometimes taking good care of yourself is asking those hard questions and being okay to be confronted with what the Lord's bringing to you.
Mm-hmm. Do a little inventory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like she's just kind of shifted on how she's taking care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks like, you know, having respectful conversations, having healthy people in your life, of course, but it really does have a lot to do with how am I managing the inside world of me? And do I have anything to repent of? And do I have any messes to be cleaned up? You know, so that's fun to hear
mm-hmm.
as people move forward and change their life.
And to hear her say, you know, I've been a Christian my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, well, that happened probably in a Christian home.
Yeah.
You know, so here's a generational success or succession.
Mm-hmm.
And she is saying, I needed to learn to love.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, it's so, there's such a struggle to move in courage, move in the decision to do what the Lord said, which was really like, hey guys, one job. You got one job here.
Going back to the one job.
Yeah. I was speaking at a church recently, and I remember saying that when we get to the good and faithful servant line, you know, like everybody wants to hear, oh, enter in, good and faithful servant. I asked the crowd, I said, you think that was because they finished with a bunch of money in the bank? Think it's because they built a big ministry?
Yeah.
You think, well, you know, I just went down the list. I go, what do you think the well done, good and faithful servant, enter in? What do you think he's measuring right there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's that one thing. It's the, did you learn to love?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you didn't, then everything else, 1 Corinthians, was it 12? Says, you know, clanging cymbal, grang, crang, kung, no credit.
Exactly, that's all in there.
You get no credit. You get the goose egg. You lit yourself on fire and sacrificed yourself at the stake, but you didn't learn to love. Oof, how'd you like to find out that?
That would be a really bad day to find out.
That would be rough. Like, okay, it's much cooler in here.
Which I think, you know, going back to even the parenting perspective of loving well, you know, I think for me personally, I didn't realize what love looked like in my physical manifestation on earth. I obviously love Ben, but to have a child that's yours, it's a very different experience.
It's wild.
And so this doing everything you can to protect it, doing everything you can to keep it, to control it, you know, it's just so crazy how what starts in a pure form becomes distorted.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of it is fear, you know, and am I doing things out of fear or am I doing them out of love?
Totally.
And so going back to, you know, what is the relationship that you have in your life that's your child, and are you doing something out of fear or are you doing it out of love?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your communication look like? Is it out of fear or love? I think we had another question, you know, with the teenager making poor choices, you know, what are you doing out of fear or love in your pursuit of connection? And how are you communicating? So I think over and over again, it's just amazing how they come into this little world and we just look at them. There's a little bit of fear, I think, when you first look at them. It's a healthy fear, though. I think you should. A respectable fear.
I remember looking at you. You fit right here on my arm, which is hard to believe. But I was holding you, and I was looking at you, and I was terrified. I was terrified. All of a sudden, this wave of responsibility, and I thought to myself, if I don't grow up fast, you're going to die. And it was so overwhelming, the call to rise up and be able to handle this level of meeting the responsibility of loving somebody like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I mean, it starts in this beautiful place of love. And if you are having a hard time getting back to it, just do everything you can to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the part of being a parent and being healthy families and fighting for families, and is love is worth it all. That's what it really feels like, is that love is worth everything you could face. It's really is. So
it's scary. It's a big job, but I concur that everything that you go through, everything that you learn to love well is going to pay off. It is. You know, I know it feels like you're being used or you're being taken advantage of or somebody's getting the better of the situation or how come they don't have to? And you're like, just mature. Just mature.
Time to grow up.
And cast out the fear.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
I think that's a great way to end, is really mature and love. That's your challenge for this week, is to mature and love. And where And like Wendy said, you know, are you doing things out of fear or out of love? I think that's a great place to be reflecting and challenging yourself. Because again, we are chasing after whole healthy families because they're going to save the world. So thank you so much for joining us for The Kylo Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about boundaries and setting healthy limits. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watching on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your listener questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Allie Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Anna Hill, Lee Alexander, and Sherry Silk. Sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk and show promoter Christian Zamora. That's all for this episode. We'll see you next week.